to that. That asks for details about you, the applicant, your innovation, and your plans for spread. All applications are reviewed by a minimum of 5 assessors, ranging from patients, clinicians, commercial experts, technical experts, drawn from the academic health science networks, NHS England, and a large number of partners that we've been working with. Everyone that's shortlisted for interview is additionally informally reviewed by NICE. Interviews will take place second week of January. And after that, you will hear if you've been offered a place on the NIA. All places offered are subject to due diligence, which is when we check the correct regulatory compliances are in place, and that you are who you say you are, and so on. And then, as I said, we will be announcing the new fellows on the 5th of March 2020. There's lots of information available online, so if you are keen to apply, please do visit the website. The call for applications is there, and that sets out in more detail what we are looking for and how to apply. We also have a number of events where you can find out more, and they are in London, Bristol and Leeds, and you can find the dates both on the website listed here and on these flyers, which I think are available on all the benches. We also have fortnightly Q&A, so if you are having technical problems or have some questions about how to apply, please do join these. Please do make contact with your local academic health science network. They are a wealth of support and will be able to help advise on filling the application form. And if you're an international company, do suggest that you contact Healthcare UK, because again, they have a wealth of support available to help you import into the UK. And there is a big stand here today. We are around for the next 2 days, so please, today and yesterday, so please do come and find us on the stand at the back. And additionally, there is a contact email address if none of those other sources can help answer the question. Now, what I think is probably more helpful is to hear from the fellows themselves as to what the NIA has helped them with. So I'm going to hand over to Amy from S-Tile Solutions.
Thank you, Laura. Good morning, everybody. I'm Amy. I am a social worker, and this is how the journey for innovation has started for me. I work in mental health services, and I'm an approved mental health professional. And that is a professional who has gone and taken legal training to undertake duties and functions of the Mental Health Act. Mental Health Act assessments are to assess whether people require hospital admission for treatment and assessment of their mental disorder. And in order to undertake Mental Health Act assessments, we need 3 key professionals. We need an AMP, and we need 2 specially trained legal doctors. These are Section 12 doctors. And we make up the assessing team. AMPs have a paper list of Section 12 doctors, and they have to call this list until they find 2 doctors who are available at the same time to attend the assessment. And unsurprisingly, the paper list doesn't give you an awful lot of information about availability. So this can take hours, or sometimes can take an entire shift trying to find doctors. The person who we're trying to assess is often really, really not in an okay place. And this person might be in police custody. They might have been picked up by the police and have ended up in a place of safety. They might be in our A&E departments or in a hospital ward or at home. And having to wait for the Mental Health Act assessing team to arrive to decide what happens next is really, really stressful. So to take so long for us to organise ourselves just wasn't okay. So to cut a very long story short, I thought that technology could provide a better way than our paper list, and S12 Solutions connects AMPs with Section 12 doctors and enables doctors to share availability for Section 12 work so that AMPs can find local available doctors to attend assessment. We've piloted our platform in various places with great success, and we're now working with about 30% of the country. The NIA has just been brilliant for us, and it's been a real game changer. For me, the support from the NIA team has just been absolutely amazing. Nothing is too much work, and they will do whatever they can do to try and help you to solve any problems that you face. I've been to these meetings at the Department for Health and had these opportunities to meet people that in my normal social work life I absolutely would not have met. So that has been, you know, huge, to go and meet the people who are writing policies and thinking about how to change the landscape for the NHS. And as Laura said, the biggest thing for me has been to meet other people who are also innovating, because it can be quite a lonely journey as a lone person trying to make these changes. And what has been what's just fantastic is to meet other people who have been on this journey, and you are one of a group of people who have been there and had the same challenges as you have had. So yeah, it's great, and I would absolutely encourage you to apply.
Thanks, Amy. I'm now going to hand over to Liz from Orca.
Thanks, Laura. My name is Liz Ashore Payne, and I'm the founding CEO of Orca. Orca stands for the Organisation for the Review of Care and Health Applications. Now, my background is I'm a clinician by trade, a speech and language therapist working with complex paediatric care needs, but I've also worked in the NHS in transformational change and driving efficiencies. And I got interested in digital health and innovation because I saw it as a true way to benefit patients' health at scale. What I also saw, though, was that there was a very confusing landscape within digital health. So there's currently, actually those figures are wrong, there's currently over 365,000 health apps available to us, and every day 5 million people download a health app. And I felt really frustrated that we weren't necessarily embedding these products into clinical care to get the best products and services to our patients at scale. And so I got obsessed with that as a problem. And there were a couple of big problems that I found. The first was awareness. People weren't aware that these digital health solutions existed. The second was people didn't know where to go to access them. And the third was people didn't trust them. And that was the ultimate challenge. And so Orca was founded as a way of trying to scale digital, great digital health solutions on the back of trust. And what we do is we review and rate digital health solutions, and then we distribute that information through locally targeted and locally branded app libraries and provide healthcare professionals with the ability to prescribe these digital health solutions. Now, before joining the NIA, we'd launched our app library, and we'd also launched a number of app libraries at local level. So here is Lancashire's, Southwest Yorkshire, Salford's, etc. And we had been working with a number of regions, localities, commissioners and providers. So I suppose the question is, why did we therefore go for the NIA? And the honest answer is, it's really hard. Working to drive and scale innovation is really hard. And anybody who's trying to do that will know, even if you've got an amazing product, it's a really challenging environment to work in. And that's because that's not anybody's fault. It just is a really difficult place to be. And we were really wanting to scale our solution. We'd found some amazing evidence and impact results. And I was absolutely passionate that I wanted that to be achieved for everybody in this country and beyond. Since joining the NIA, we've had the most amazing support. Some of the things that the NIA have done for us is one, connect us with like-minded individuals. And as I said before, it's really hard driving innovation across health, and working and being surrounded by like-minded innovators is just phenomenal. And those innovators also have amazing networks themselves. Everybody who comes to the NIA is extremely generous and open to share and to learn and to grow together as a community. The NIA have also really helped us to challenge ourselves really around some of our messages, our value propositions, and have given us, as Amy said, access to places that we would never have ever been able to get to before, and have given us opportunities to present and raise awareness of what we're doing and therefore work with more and more communities. Since joining the NIA, we are now working with around 25% of CCGs across England. We now cover about 25 million citizens, and we have thousands of healthcare professionals using our solution to prescribe great digital health solutions to their patients. We have a national contract reviewing apps on behalf of NHS Digital and NHSX. We've won loads of awards, and we've now exported across Europe. And we're absolutely ready now for our next phase of growth and further scale. And I can't underestimate, and I can't really express how being part of this programme has absolutely helped us to achieve all of those things. I'm really happy to take any questions and speak to anybody who wants to ask me anything specific. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Thanks.
Thanks.
So now is really an opportunity for you to ask any questions to either Amy or to Liz or to me about the NIA. So I'll hand over to you. Any questions?
Any questions, anyone? Yeah.
Hi, thank you both for really inspiring presentations, actually. And my interest is I'm a consultant paediatrician with an idea in my head somewhere. And I guess it's about risk, because you're going to have to take a step out of your comfort zone to go into the places that you were there. How did that feel, both in terms of the job security, albeit that comes from social work or wherever else, but also in terms of what you could be losing as well as could be gaining in terms of your identity as your kind of healthcare professional or the area that you're in?
I think that's a really good question. And I got to a point with S12 that I had to make a decision around whether or not to try and do two things, which was very difficult, especially with the family, or to just try and spearhead one of them. And I think, hand on heart, if you believe in your idea, which you absolutely need to do to push a rock off a hill, you need to put all your energy in it if you're going to take on the NHS. So although it was a heartbreaking decision when I had to give my notice in to the job that I loved and I'm really passionate about, but I know I would never have got this far without putting all of my energy into my innovation. And I think you end up adopting a new identity alongside lots of other people. So it's a change. It's like a change of path.
And I'd iterate that as well. So for me, my passion is I want to help people and patients. And I feel that what I'm doing now is I'm able to now support more patients and more people. However, probably one of my favourite analogies of how I feel about what I'm doing is if you imagine a picture of somebody sat on a lion, and they're riding the lion, and everybody looks at you and says, wow, look at her, she's riding a lion. And you're thinking, how did I get on this lion? And that's how it can feel on a day-to-day basis. So I suppose that the way in which I manage that feeling of fear and risk is every day get up and think, right, practically, what am I going to do today to stay on this lion?
That's a great analogy. I might nick that. Actually, the other thing I would just like to add around that is in the Innovation Exchange Zone there's a whole load of companies, some of whom are in the Innovation Accelerator, some of them aren't, but there's lots and lots of companies in there who've got clinicians and people who've worked in their health sector who've taken the same step that these guys have. So if you want to find out more about how that works, there's lots of people in there that you could talk to, I think. Any more questions? One here.
Yes, thanks very much indeed for all your inspiration. Are there any tips about the application process and how to navigate that?
Should I answer that? People struggle with quite often describing what their innovation is. We see this particularly from clinicians, actually, I think, because you're so embossed in the kind of the research and, you know, and how to speak in an academic way. So to really try and crystallize what it is so people can grasp it quickly. Then the two other bits I think are key are the evidence. So please really succinctly summarize what the evidence is to support your innovation. Ideally, get it into the application form. There is a section where you can provide supplementary documents, but really try and be really clear about what it is you've got to support the innovation, and use plain English because there's a breadth of different assessors from different backgrounds reviewing it. We prioritise the feedback from clinicians and patients at the shortlisting process. So again, what is it a clinician is going to need to see to believe in it and to give it that high score? And how can you appeal to the patients? So the patients that we've been working with have said, we want to understand what the need is. We want to understand that the innovator has engaged with patients. So patients been involved in the design and have supported the ongoing spread and development of that innovation, and that they've considered the kind of accessibility needs. So I would really focus on the application, the applicant section, and the innovation section. You know, if you're going to prioritise, those two are the bits to do. Does that make sense?
Thank you. Any more questions? One over here.
I'm just curious how important or otherwise the involvement of your local AHSN is.
So I would definitely try and get involved in your local AHSN because they provide a wealth of support, and they'll help you navigate the application process. But it's not a requirement, obviously you don't have to, and everyone has different relationships. But I would definitely try and seek their support because I just think that will help.
And the way to do that would be via the Innovation Exchange.
Yeah.
So have a look on the big screen, pick up some of the leaflets, but we've launched the Innovation Exchange portal. So go and have a look. You can find out more about what's happening within your region and get in touch with your AHSN that way as well.
But just to emphasize, it's not a requirement. International companies probably will not have had that support. So,
Any more questions?
Okay, we are here for the rest of the day at the back. As David said, there's lots of NIA fellows and others who've been working to spread innovation, so do pick their brains throughout the zone. And the information leaflets do set out our kind of upcoming Meet the NIA and Q&A, so please do make the most of those. And thank you very much for coming.
Thank you all.